Good evening. When it comes to likes and dislikes, there's a lot of leeway. If Stacy and I are debating on if we're going to go out to eat to a certain place that we've never tried, and she may like it, I may not. The worst that could happen, I get a meal I don't really care for. And that's you know, obviously, I haven't missed many meals that I haven't liked, but that's about it. But when we start talking about the likes and dislikes regarding God, it is a big, big difference. The consequences are a lot greater. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we've been studying different issues out of the book of Proverbs. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the verse, or the passage, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. And this is out of the New King James Version. And we looked at these, and I look at the wording of this, and it is extremely strong. Very strong wording. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Those words, that's strong language right there. The word hate, an abomination. These are things that the Lord totally despises. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. What a list. When I think of sins off the top of my head, if somebody said, name a sin, I'm thinking murder, adultery, things like that. These things are actions, excuse me, that one God hates and that are an abomination to him. And a lot of it is sins that we commit with our mouth and attitude. A lot of this up here is in our heart, our minds, our attitude. A proud look. I just, and you know, you've seen those before. That person that is just haughty, arrogant. God hates that in people. When we think about it, when we boil it down to spiritual terms, what do we have to be proud about? That we're sinners? That God needed to send His Son to die for us? And we have a haughty and arrogant, proud look. Never in the Bible, from cover to cover, other than being, there's a difference between having pride in God, having pride in your family, being proud of something you've accomplished. But this is not that. A proud look, that's arrogance. This is that above and beyond. The fact that the Lord hates it is testament to how bad it is. Next, a lying tongue. You think of all the sins that we can commit and how many of them are with our mouth. You think of, like James talked about in the book of James, that out of one spring fresh water and impure water, you know, it shouldn't be like that. You know, with our mouth, we praise God, but yet we curse men. this is a lying tongue. That's a sin of our mouth. Now, granted, and this was brought up in Bible class last week, that nothing comes out of your mouth that isn't in your mind first. You know, we've talked about people, oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. At the time that you, unless you've got Tourette's, which is a medical condition where you cannot control what you say. And I did know somebody that had that. And it's bad. But you know what? When we say things, and especially lies, God hates that. And we want to be pleasing to God. We want to be seen by Him as obedient children. He does not like somebody with a lying tongue or hands that shed innocent blood. But God, you don't know what they did to me. Well, first of all, if you're talking to Jesus, yes, He does. He was purely innocent. And they killed Him. They killed Him out of arrogance. They killed Him out of pride. They killed Him out of disobedience. We need to make sure, and not that I think any of us are, but we look at this, we want to make sure that we are pleasing to God. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know what? And it can go farther than actually shedding blood. Hands that inflict and attack the innocent. You don't have to actually draw blood to be guilty of this. Just like Jesus says, you can be guilty of murder if you have hatred in your heart. A heart that devises wicked plans. And I'll tell you, that heart, that attitude, that's where all of this comes from. You don't say anything. You don't commit a lie without it first being in your mind, in your heart. A heart that devises wicked plans. It's bad enough to stumble. And I'm sure we've all done that. Have every best intention. You're going along in life wanting and trying to serve God, and you stumble. You get caught off guard. You get caught up in the moment. You get caught up with other individuals. It's easy to do. But here, that's a totally different thing. A heart that devises wicked plans. This is a forethought. This is premeditated, sitting around scheming wickedness, planning it, not getting caught up, not stumbling. We saw how Peter stumbled. He had no intention of it. Swore to Jesus, I'll never forsake you. I'll never, deny you. Yeah, you will. He stumbled, but he didn't plan on doing that. Feet that are swift in running to evil. We don't want to be people that at the drop of a hat are willing to go that direction. People that get caught up easily. We don't want to be like that. Feet that are swift in running to evil. That it amazes me on campus. People are going along in their normal day. A fight will break out. And I mean, people come out of the woodwork, zoom, and they're surrounding that fight, watching it. Not intending, they're going to math class. They're in between periods, they're on their way to the next class, seeing their boyfriend, their girlfriend. And all of a sudden, fight breaks out, whoop, they are drawn to it. Feet that are swift in running to evil. We need to make sure that as we're just going along nonchalant in our lives, that when that opportunity comes, we're not running to evil. That we're not sucked up into that immediately. Again, getting back to the lies in verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies. You look at the people that spoke up and condemned Jesus centuries after this was written in Proverbs. People that falsely accused Jesus. You look at the damage that can be done. A false witness who speaks lies. A witness carries some credibility. And yet they're speaking lies. And other people will maybe fall into believing that. And then this last one, when you think of all of these other things, it can contribute to this last one. One who sows discord among the brethren. I wonder if standing on Judgment Day, if we're going to be comforted any when we can stand before God and tell Him, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't commit adultery. I was never drunk. I'm going to be able to stand before God and say, God, I've never been drunk. You know that. I've never even drank anything. So is discord. I wonder if it'd comfort somebody and make them feel any better to go to hell for sowing discord rather than committing murder or something like that. But I didn't murder anybody, God. I didn't go worship some other location. But I spoke lies. I had a proud, haughty, arrogant attitude about myself. I sowed discord among the brethren. These are the things that the Lord hates and that are an abomination to Him. Let's look at some things. And these are not the only things. I'm just basing it off of this passage. There's other things that the Lord hates. Malachi tells us that the Lord hates divorce. What are some things that He likes, that are pleasing to Him? In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith pleases God. When we have faith in Him, and we know Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we search out His Word and we develop our faith in Him, we looked at this morning kind of a small biographical study on Mary and Martha. And they had great faith in Him. They had great faith in Jesus that had He been present, their dear brother Lazarus would not have died. They had faith in Jesus when he told them that He's going to raise again. And they had faith in that. Especially afterwards when He did raise up. Something I didn't mention today, kind of, you know, didn't come out of my mouth. Could you imagine after Jesus told them He's going to raise and they believe Him? And He does, and Martha leans, you know, Jesus, when He's telling him to come out of the grave, to come out of His tomb, Martha says, He's been dead for 4 days. There's going to be a stench. 4 days. They had faith. And then after that resurrection, after Jesus resurrected Lazarus don't you know their faith was even more so? Even more complete. What can the devil do to us? What can the devil do? Kill us? Jesus can raise us, and He's guaranteed we're going to be raised in the last day. The devil, we've pulled the last little rug out from under the devil, our fear of death. Jesus did that. And it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By displaying faith, I think the reason we're probably here tonight is because we have a faith in Him and that we're diligently seeking after God. Either that or you don't have anything to do, which there's plenty of things to do. I like to think we're here because of faith. We want to please Him. In Matthew 3, we see the account where Jesus was baptized. And starting in verse 13, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John, talking about John the Baptist, at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God Himself spoke those words, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Why is He pleased? Because Jesus had so much sin that He needed to be baptized? No. He's the one person that was baptized in the New Testament that wasn't commanded to for the remission of sins. For all righteousness to be fulfilled. Jesus had God's plan foremost in His life. He wanted to be pleasing to God. He wanted to do God's will. John didn't want to go along. No, I need to be baptized by you. We need to do this. And John went along because he wanted to do what was pleasing to God. When we're baptized, don't you know? I've heard it said at a baptism about how the angels rejoiced in heaven upon a baptism. I'm sure they do, but God is rejoicing. When we submit ourselves, like Jesus did, when we submit ourselves to God's will, and submission is a big word. Not everybody is willing to submit. When we submit to God's will, and give ourselves over to baptism, to humble ourselves, not have that proud, arrogant, haughty look, but to humble ourselves to realize, I've got sin in my life. That is sometimes a hard thing to do, to look at yourself in the mirror the way you truly are. That's sometimes pretty hard to do. But when we're baptized, God is pleased that we're a child of His. In Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, it says, therefore by Him, talking about Jesus, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When we continually offer the sacrifice of praise, every first day of the week we come together to offer that sacrifice of praise. We as a body, not only individually, but as a body, we offer up praise to God every first day of the week, just as it is commanded, and we have examples of. And he says, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This was not a sermon on the plan of salvation, how you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I'm assuming the majority of us are. If you're not, we've already seen how being baptized is pleasing to God. For God to see us and to know that the sacrifice of His Son was not in vain. He paid a very high price for us. And for us to take advantage of that, for us to reap the benefits of that sacrifice, God is very pleased when we put our Lord on in baptism. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, we have an opportunity now, when, as Don leads us in the invitation song, let us stand and sing.